Texaco Time with Fred Allen, Robert Benchley, the Merry Mac, Portman Hoffer, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Arthur Godfrey bidding you welcome to the Texaco Star Theater for your friends and neighbors, Texaco dealers from coast to coast. And speaking of neighbors, a neighbor of mine was boasting the other day that he was not using all the tickets in his gasoline ration book just because he's got them. He's going easy. Take it from me, that fella's plenty smart. Because the less gasoline you use, the less you wear your tires. Even if you live where gasoline isn't rationed yet, it's still a good idea to go easy. Don't drive a single unnecessary mile. Then your tires will last longer, and your car can keep on giving its essential service for a long, long time. Yes, go easy. And for expert car and tire care, go to your neighborhood Texaco dealer. Next Tuesday is election day, folks. Don't forget our candidate. He isn't the people's choice. He doesn't want your vote. All he wants is 30 minutes of your time, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and goodies. Thank you very much. The man with no arms is cheering. You take a pause. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Arthur, you seem to look a little thinner tonight.
I know, Fred. I just lost 13 pounds.
13 pounds. Well, you certainly look it, I must say. Your Adam's apple seems to have shrunk, Arthur. Your Adam's apple looks like the ghost of a dead grape, I must say, from here. And your neck is thin, too. Your neck looks as though somebody's leg is hanging out of your collar there. What's wrong, Arthur?
Oh, it's that new meat ruling, Fred. I've been eating in restaurants on Meatless Tuesday.
Oh, you mean you haven't been getting enough meat? Enough to eat, rather?
Have you tried one of those new Meatless Day ham sandwiches?
What is a Meatless Day ham sandwich?
It's two slices of white bread.
Yeah.
When you lift up the top slice, there's a big daub of mustard on the bottom slice.
And no meat?
Under the mustard, there's an IOU for a piece of ham.
Well, meatless days are a problem, all right. You know, last Tuesday, to keep going, Arthur, I ate about 20 pig's feet. I didn't sleep all night.
What happened?
Well, as soon as I got to sleep, I dreamed that Phil Spitalny was playing the Star Spangled Banner. And those 20 pig's feet in my stomach stood up, Arthur. My stomach felt like a parade ground for most of the night. Well, if you have nothing else on your mind, Arthur...
I have one thing, Fred.
One thing, yes?
You read about this new ceiling on salaries.
Yes, the law says you can now make $25,000 a year.
You know the salary that I'm getting from you?
Yes.
Who do I see about making up the difference?
You can take it up with the Goodwill Court, Arthur. And while you go into conference with Mr. Anthony, I shall turn lightly to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. On November 29th, Price Administrator Leon Henderson announces coffee rationing will start throughout the nation. Every person over 15 years of age will be limited to one cup of coffee per day. Coffee ruling is greeted with mixed reactions throughout the country. A prominent epicure says...
There's only one way a coffee lover can make one cup of coffee last all day.
How?
He can freeze it and suck it like a lollipop.
A Canarsie housewife says...
Coffee rationing busted up my home.
Well, how? How, madam?
Well, my husband and me is each supposed to get one cup of coffee, right?
That's right, correct.
Every morning, my husband gets up and drinks both cups of coffee. I'm suing for divorce.
Have you got the grounds?
And how, mister? I got a percolator full of them.
A man about Bowery says...
This coffee rationing is ruining panhandling.
You mean don't people give you a dime for coffee these days?
Well, yeah, but it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing how?
Well, people give me the dime, okay, but then they follow me to see where I'm going to get the coffee.
A downtown matron who is ready to cope with the coffee rationing is Mrs. Lamont Schreiber. You are prepared, are you, Mrs. Schreiber?
Who is was not prepared today is only one thing.
And that is?
Unprepared.
How are you coping with...
In our house is living three families. The Schreibers, the Pinkerters, and the Nussbaums.
Three families, I see.
Everything we are pooling.
Mm-hmm.
The automobile, the bathtub, the coffee.
Now, wait a minute. How can three families pool their coffee?
Every morning I'm filling up a little tea bag, but with coffee beans.
Uh-huh. You're making a coffee bag.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
From 6 a.m. From 6 a.m. till noon, the Pinkerton is having the coffee bag.
I see.
From noon till 6 p.m., the Nussbaums is using.
The Nussbaums, uh-huh.
At 6 p.m., the Schreibers are getting the coffee bag.
Well, after that coffee soaks for 12 hours, what is there left for you?
Nothing. The Schreibers are holding the bag.
Well, now you know how my right eye feels. And thank you, Mrs. And thank you, Mrs. Lamar Schreiber. And now a caffeine authority, Mr. Derek Dobbin. How do you feel about this one cup of coffee a day, Derek?
Well, it's just going to make dunking a lost start.
Oh, you are a dunker, are you?
I eat between 80 and 90 donuts a day.
You eat between... you like donuts, do you?
I can't stand them mahogany bagels. I gotta eat them to get the coffee.
Well, why?
Well, I wear glasses, see?
Yeah.
When I get a hot cup of coffee and bent down to drink it,
uh-huh,
the steam comes up and stains my glasses.
You can't see anything?
I can't find the coffee.
Well, where does the
if
donut...
If I got a donut in my hand, I can feel around with the donut and locate the coffee.
Can't you just feel around?
And blister me fingers? That little old Derek.
Well, tell me, what is your candid opinion of dunking, Derek?
Well, there's different methods.
Techniques, you mean?
Yeah. There's the sneaky dunkers.
Uh-huh.
Them guys that skim the donut up the side of their cups and ooze it into their coffee fly like that.
They're afraid someone will catch them, huh?
Yeah. Then there's the messy dunkers.
Messy?
Yeah, they pour their coffee into their saucers and spank it with their cruller.
Well, that is messy.
Yeah, it's like eating in back of a motorboat.
Well, as a dunker, Derek, what is your off-the-record reaction to this coffee rationing?
So what? If there's no coffee, so what?
You don't think people are going to miss coffee?
After the metal drive, who's got a pot to put in it?
Well, that's no eye cup you've got there under your vest, brother. And thank you, Derek Dobbin. Well, I guess that concludes...
Have your moment, my hokey friend. Yes. Falstaff here with poems, no end.
Open short. You haven't been composing.
Have you heard, I knew she was a welder when she carried the torch for me?
No, I haven't heard that.
Said the cockatoo to the kangaroo, if you could moo, I could go for you.
No, I haven't heard that.
I'll stick to you, mother, though you're old and gray. Because of you, I'm in class 3A.
Now, wait. I've been waiting for this moment to come. It has arrived. Tonight we have been discussing the lunch won't save you tonight. Tonight we have been discussing the coffee rationing.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a poem.
And what is your coffee canto called?
Rinse out the silex, mother.
Rinse out the... Well, how does it go?
Rinse out the silex, mother. Put my mustache cup away. They're going to ration coffee. The news came out today. I'm going to miss that steaming cup I held under my schnozola. A donut will never taste the same dunked in Pepsi-Cola. Coffee leggers may soon appear with hideouts where we can go to get a cup of Java. We'll rap and ask for more. So rinse out the silex, mother, and place it on the sink. For years it's brewed my mocha, and I haven't slept a wink. Give my coffee to some soldier boy who is fighting for our rights. And instead of me, Herr Hitler will be having sleepless nights.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back to our frustrated midst a little band of vocal troubadours who were on our program for several seasons a few years back. I'd like to have you meet the Merry Macs, ladies and gentlemen. Well, boys, what have you been doing since you left us?
We've been making pictures out in Hollywood, Fred.
Good.
We've been making records, and we've been making personal appearances.
Well, tell me, Ted, how did you, Mary Max, ever come to leave our program?
You took us out to Hollywood, and we heard about money, remember?
We lose more actors that way. I don't know what it is. Well, before you boys get away again tonight, Ted, what about your song?
We're going to do Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition.
Fine. Mr. Goodman?
Down went the gunner, a bullet was his fate. Down went the gunner, and then the gunner's mate. Up jumped the sky pilot, gave the boys a look. And then the gunner himself, as he laid aside his book,
shouting, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and the long stay free. Praise the Lord and swing into position. Share the fort and sit around the wishing. Praise the Lord, we're all between perdition and the deep blue sea.
Fred, I know something that'll never be rationed.
What's that, Freckles? Love?
Freckles. No, oh, moly one. Service.
Service?
Yes, sir, Texaco service. You see, the more and better service a Texaco dealer gives your car, the longer you're going to be able to drive it to and from work. And the longer you drive, the longer he's going to stay in business. Make sense?
If anything ever did, it does.
Well, listen, darn few people are driving cars today that are less than a year old. Uh-huh. Most of them are 2 and 3 years old.
That's right.
And we'd better keep them properly lubricated if we hope to keep them rolling, especially in cold weather driving. Your car's only heading for trouble if you're still using last summer's lubricant.
What do you suggest doing about it, Arthur?
I'd get around and see my Texaco dealer and get it war conditioned. He'll drain that worn summer oil out of the crankcase and put in insulated Havoline motor oil. That'll protect the engine from excessive wear. He'll put fine new Texaco gear lubricants into the transmission and the differential to protect those costly gears. And finally, to protect every vital chassis point, he'll go over it from stem to stern with his Marfac service. Mister, with a Texaco dealer's special care, that car of yours will wear and wear. And it's got to wear, fella, for victory.
That was Al Goodman and his orchestra giving a musical synopsis of Little Bo Peep. And now...
Yes, sir, Alan!
Of course, Len. Well, Portland.
Mr. Allen, have you a fountain pen?
Well, I have a small boy's pen. It's a little Schaefer. But... what do you want it for?
Well, I've got to finish this letter to my cousin Archie at Fort Dix.
Oh, that's nice, writing a letter to Archie.
It's for Mama.
Uh-huh.
Mama says if Archie is a doughboy now, he should send some of it home.
$50 a month, and in your family, he's a capitalist already. What else are you writing?
Oh, I'm sending Archie all the news. Mama is a rat in the Army.
Yeah.
I'm a wave in the Navy.
Yeah.
And Cousin Joe is a wolf in the Marines.
He's a leathernecker, huh? Well, is that the... Is that the letter you have there?
Yes. I've only written the P.S.
Well, that saves a lot of time, just writing the F. What is the P.S. there?
It says, quote...
Quote.
We are getting your Christmas package ready to mail early, Archie.
Uh-huh.
We are having a little trouble sending what you asked for. Uncle Phil has the big packing case all ready.
Yeah.
But he can't touch Hedy Lamarr.
Well, maybe he ought to change his bait. Remind him. Well, here's the fountain pen I have to make with the guest here. I'm busy
oh,
now.
Who's coming tonight?
Well, Bob Benchley called up and said he had something to tell me, and it's very important.
Is this Mr. B coming in?
So it is. The man in the middle, the other two minions are holding. Ladies and gentlemen, he's got eminent authority on wit and humor. You gave the reception too quickly. Now, you'll have to give it again. Wait till I give you the thing here. Ladies and gentlemen, meet that eminent authority on wit and humor, that Hollywood glamour boy, that man about inkwell, Robert Benchley.
Thank you, friend.
Well, welcome back to our program, Bob.
Have I been here before?
Oh, yes, Bob. Looking through the house for some scrap metal recently, I ran across an old egg we laid on this program about 3 years ago.
A double yoker?
Yes, a double yoker. You and I used this program for a nest back in 39. Don't you remember?
I have a vague recollection. Are you with the same sponsor?
No, Bob. Right after you were on the program, I changed sponsors.
Well, that's usually what happens, I find. Have you any plans after tonight?
Bob, I think we're all right tonight. This sponsor is broad-minded. But tell me, what have you been doing lately?
Oh, I've been out in Hollywood doing odd jobs.
You've been making pictures?
Off and on. I was Slim Somerville's stand-in for a while. And when Mickey Rooney's voice changed, I stepped in and finished a picture for him.
For Mickey Rooney. Well, how did it come out?
Well, the critic said I gave the part more Mickey than Rooney.
Well, you know, most people coming back from Hollywood, Bob, are all tanned up. But your complexion is tattletale gray, I'd say.
Well, I do look like the color of cat meat tonight, I guess.
Yes,
last
you
night
are.
Was Halloween, you know, Fred.
Oh, yeah, Halloween. Were you out late?
Well, I put Bull over to bed.
What can you... tell me, what can you do here in New York on Halloween?
Oh, a bunch of us raised old men. You know, we took the doorman from Leon and Eddie's and left him in front of the Stork Club.
No kidding.
Then we rubbed soap on those little windows in the automat.
Yeah.
People thought that there was whipped cream on it. Then we tipped over 2 nightclubs on 52nd Street.
Yeah.
And wound up at 21 bobbing for pineapples in the old-fashioned.
Well, no wonder you look like Boris Karloff's ectoplasm.
My mouth says the camel has just pulled his foot out of it. But enough about me, Fred. Did you have any Halloween fun?
Well, I pushed a few tomatoes through the Venetian blinds at the Union League Club, Bob. And then I rang the doorbell at the Empire State Building and hid while Al Smith came to the window with a candle in his hand. Tell me, did you ring any doorbells last night?
Well, I pulled a doorbell on 59th Street. 5 guys came out and made a big mistake. I ran.
Running was a mistake?
Yeah, the 5 guys turned out to be my draft boys.
No kidding.
When they saw that I still had strength enough to run, they put me up to 4F.
Moved you up to 4F? Well, what were you before?
Well, I wasn't in any class. All it said on my draft card was, are you kidding?
Well, I know you've been down in Washington a lot lately doing some work for the government, Bob.
Yes, I've been doing what I can. Glad to do it, then.
Well, there are a lot of writers down there. I heard that someone wrote a new war song down in Washington. It's called Praise the Lord and Pass the Prohibition. But, Bob, you called me up and said it was something important. Is it about my program?
Yes, Fred. I was standing at a bar the other night.
You were standing?
Well, it was early in the evening.
Oh, well.
And I heard a voice say, somebody ought to tell Fred about his new program.
Uh-huh.
I looked around and I was alone. So it put it squarely up to me, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Well, what's on your mind, Bob?
Well, Fred, there comes a time in every man's life when some friend has to take him aside and tell him.
I'm using the wrong soap, Bob?
No, but you're getting the same effect with your program.
What should I do, Bob? Get off the air or brazen it out like Benny is doing?
So Don't be silly, Fred. There's nothing of a matter with your program that a few laughs won't cure.
Well, how can I get the laughs? I've tried guest stars.
Well, guest stars won't help, Fred. I've proved that 100 times. You should try the Benchley theory.
What is the Benchley theory?
Well, I've discovered that there are 3 words that never fail to get laughs from a radio audience.
3 surefire words. Now, what are they?
First, the word jerk.
Jerk, uh-huh.
Second, any reference to Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. And third?
Any mention of Bing Crosby's horses.
Well, go on, Bob.
By combining these 3 words in one sentence, I can get the biggest laugh ever heard in radio.
Well, we can use the biggest laugh ever heard in radio right about now, Bob.
And you're going to get it, son. Are you ready?
Yes, Bob.
Very good. I'll combine the 3 words.
Well, let's go.
A jerk in Brooklyn was riding one of Bing Crosby's horses.
Well, Bob?
Well, so much for the Benchley theory. Now, my second theory...
Now, look, Bob, I don't need theory. How can I fix up this program I have here, my program?
Well, there's only one thing to do, Fred.
Yes?
Get rid of this guy, Rochester. Fred, he's ruining you.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. Rochester isn't on.
And that kid, Dennis Day. All right for community singing, but not for you. I've been studying your program, Fred.
Rochester and Dennis Day? Bob, are you sure you've been listening to our show?
Well, if you're pinning me down, no. But I try to. Something happens every Sunday.
Well, how do you mean?
If you have a few minutes, Fred, I'll show you.
All right. Mr. Goodman will play a little music, Bob. Now, you get your story together. Bob, you promised to tell us why you can't hear our program.
Every Sunday night, it's the same routine, Fred.
Well, what happened?
Pull up a chair and I'll show you.
Robert! Robert!
Yes, Mary?
You said you wanted to listen to Fred Allen's program. It's almost time.
Gosh, that's right. That guy Allen is a card.
I'll turn on the radio.
And here he is, the star of the Technical Star Theater, Fred Allen.
That Allen kills me.
He hasn't said anything yet.
Well, he will. Listen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Arthur.
Yes, Fred.
Did you hear that joke about the camel who...
I'm not
static.
Must be a storm coming up.
And the camel leaned over it. And that's what he said.
Oh, fig Newtons, I missed the whole joke.
And that's not all, Arthur.
Good, the static's gone.
A funny thing happened on my way to the studio tonight. A horse and cab drove up. And this chorus girl looked out of the cab and said...
Mary, tell that maid to stop dialing the phone.
With that, the cab driver jumped down off his seat and yelled...
Mueller, will you stop using that phone?
And that's when the horse fainted.
That guy Allen is funny, huh?
You haven't heard anything yet.
And now we turn to the latest news of the week.
Oh, the newsreel. Oh, this is the best part of the show, I think.
New York City, New York. Mayor LaGuardia states that this coming week...
Mary, will you answer that door?
I can't go to the door in this dirty mandarin coat.
The mayor says because of the toothpick shortage.
All right, I'll answer.
I'll turn off the radio.
Is the man of the house in? Who do I look like, Gypsy Rose Lee? Are you a registered voter? Yes, but I'm not voting tonight. I'm listening to the Fred Allen show.
Who's asking you to vote?
Look, I'm listening to the Fred Allen show.
Not yet, you ain't, Missy. First you listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm from the Daily Globe. We're conducting a straw
poll.
Fill out this blank. Who are you voting for? Hart, Kaffner, Marks, or Dewey?
I'm not voting for anybody.
Yes. Hey, you're Robert Benchley, ain't you?
Yes.
I've seen you in short.
So what?
Brother, do you...
You just closed the door in time, Robert.
Oh, that darn pest. Well, we got back to the Allen performance.
I'll turn on the radio.
And thank you, Falstaff Openshaw. Well, so much for the newsreel, folks.
Oh, kumquats. I missed the whole newsreel.
And now Mr. Goodman plays.
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, better late than never.
Oh, boy, just in time. Here's Portland. He's a scream.
Well, Portland, what's new?
As I always say.
Good grief, what's that buzzing?
Oh, it must be the icebox. It generally starts about this time.
And what did your mother say, Portland?
It was funny. Mother said...
And she's the one who can do it, too.
Oh,
darn that old fight box. I missed the whole joke.
And here he is, folks. Arthur Godfrey. Let a Texaco dealer get your car ready for cold weather driving. Make him your car warden. Let your Texaco dealer care for your car for your country.
That came through nice and clear, Robert.
Oh, sure. Nothing ever stops the commercial.
And now we present our guest star, Orson Welles.
Oh, boy, Orson Welles and Fred Allen. Say, this will be a scream.
Well, Orson, old boy, a funny thing must have happened to you on your way to the theater studio tonight.
There's the phone, Robert. I'll answer it.
I'll be a soft nougatine.
Turn off the radio. Hello? Yes, Mr. Benson's here. For you, Robert.
Oh, crabbakes. Hello? Yes? This is Mr. Benson. Who's this? The Crosney radio pole. What program am I listening to? Oh, I'm trying to listen to the Fred Allen program. Allen, that's right. Fred Allen. Of course he's still on the air. Goodbye. Radio surveys call you. How can you listen to a program? Surveys my...
Don't start cussing, Robert. Sit down and enjoy the radio.
All right. Lucky Allen does an hour program. At least I can hear the last half hour. I'll turn it on now.
This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you like our new half-hour show. We'll be back with 30 minutes of fun again next Sunday night.
That's done it. I'm going out and skin the cat.
Well, I'm sorry you miss our program every Sunday night, Bob.
Well, I didn't miss it tonight, Fred. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, thank you a lot, Bob. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, our guest will be Miss Joan Edwards of your hit parade and Hugh Herbert, hot from Hollywood. And now, Arthur, have you anything to add?
Just a little rhyme that Falstaff Openshaw gave me, Fred. It goes like this. Lives of tires all remind us driving fast is now a crime. We can put more miles behind us if we only take our time.
In other words?
Stay under 35 to save rubber. And to save your car, have a Texaco dealer get it ready now for cold weather.
Thank you, Arthur. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to drive in regularly to have your tires checked. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
Thank you.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Immediately following station identification, you'll hear Phil Baker in Take It or Leave It. And at 10:30, CBS World News brings you a dramatic summary of the week's developments in A Report to the Nation. 10 p.m., BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time.